Alt NPR.
Welcome to Press Start. I'm Robert Holt.
I'm Kyle Orland.
Ralph, what's your last name?
Oh, yeah, Cooper.
Okay, so this week we're going to talk about what is a gamer. How has the idea of a gamer changed? I think, like, sitting at this table right now, this is what the traditional gamers are, you know, guys in their 30s and geeky and, you know, liking to play games. You know, that
30s?
That,
what are you talking about,
that's
30s?
That's right, you're young. I forgot about that. Younger guys, although we are getting older. But that's changing. And 50% of all Americans play games. Where did you read that? The IDSA?
The Entertainment Software Association. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. Mm. So, again, that's counting people who, you know, probably play solitaire during their lunch break or, you know, played Pac-Man 5 years ago, maybe. I don't know what their data methods are, but...
Tetris on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But even if 50% of people are playing games, that's still 50% of people in this country who are not playing games. When you compare that to something like movies,
yeah,
music, right, reading books, you know, right, it hasn't made that penetration. So what's the problem?
Hmm. Or is it a problem? Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've already noticed that, you know, our geek culture is being subsumed by the main culture here.
The evil mainstream.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I've watched black culture get subsumed by and now the geek culture is getting subsumed. And now that it's my culture, I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
Right. We were doing that first, before right. It was popular.
That's right. Now I know exactly how it feels,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah,
not
guys,
really.
Now you guys are kind of on my page. I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? I had to watch all of that happen where, you know, our favorite game to jump on, of course, is Grand Theft Auto. But, you know, we watched that change the face of things, in my opinion. And now it's weird to watch commercials, to watch
yeah.
all kinds of stuff and just see all of the shout out to games and things that you saw before that you really just didn't see. Like you've got more video game commercials on mm-hmm. regular channels. Not mm-hmm. you know, we're not talking like G4.
Or
we're
MTV.
Not talking like, you know, the gamer channels.
Although right. G4 is, you know, the all Star Trek channel now. It's pissing me off.
Yeah, it's nice.
Air game stuff.
Well, you know, soon I'll put on Babylon 5 for you. It'll be great.
Giving up on that station.
Right.
Yeah, me too. God.
Yeah, and they have really bad people calling the video games, too. I don't know if anybody's ever put that out there like that, but some of the people
what,
that
Adam
they have.
Adam Sessler and...
Who's the girl?
Morgan Webb.
Boo.
Yeah, my wife cannot stand her voice. My wife, every time my wife hears her talking, it's like, you know, nails screeching on a blackboard. She's like, I hate her.
There's some clever writing in that show sometimes, but yeah.
I like Adam Sessler. I really do like Adam Sessler, and I think they know what they're talking about. They're really snarky.
Snarky. That is the Press Start word. Snarky. I feel like my girlfriend could kick Morgan's ass. That's just me. In any game that you would put her up against. Tetris,
oh, I thought you were anything. Talking about like, you know.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Actually kick her ass.
Oh, yeah, that too. No doubt. Oh, girl could put a hurting on her. But I do like the one thing I do like about G4 is it does show you the expanding aspect of gamers. You know, I know they were the first network to really broadcast E3. Mm-hmm. And for people who've never really been there before to see not just what kind of games are being pushed there, because they don't, and Kyle back me up here if I'm wrong, but they don't just push like the action games anymore at our E3. You know, you get a card game with, you know, like yeah. they'll have some World Series of Poker people there. And like, if you're into that, you're impressed by the fact that these people are there, which is, you know,
there's
that
all sorts of casual games
just,
are out
right,
there.
You know.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, if who doesn't know what E3 is, it's the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's the biggest game show in the U.S., maybe mm-hmm. even the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably yeah. bigger than the Tokyo Game Show. And
definitely. But, you know, one of the things you notice, I've been there the past 3 years, and the people walking on the show floor, it's 90-95% males. And these are the people who are in the industry. So, you know, why aren't females better represented in game development jobs? It's yeah. it's still got that reputation of an old boys club. I don't know if it's because, you know, women are just naturally less inclined to this, or because they feel like they can't break in. They're not getting educated.
Or the games didn't appeal to them before. You know, I think in some mm-hmm. ways, although playing World of Warcraft, that kind of game appeals to women too. And it's really weird. Of course, you know, 90% of the female characters you see, yes, they are men. Okay,
yeah,
but
some of them are actually women, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get on like on my, you know, my guild. I get on Ventrilo, and which is a mm-hmm. you know, way for people to talk to each other over the internet. People are actually women. They're actually
well, you know, did you hear they're releasing a piece of software to be able to disguise your voice now? That you can make a female voice sound like a male voice, specifically targeted at female gamers who don't want to be stigmatized.
Yeah, but they'll either sound like Darth Vader or Cher.
Yeah, you know that.
Well, I don't know how well it works, but just the fact that something like this needs to exist, you know.
Well, you can disguise your voice in Xbox Live.
And if you really want to take it back, you could also disguise your voice on the Dreamcast, because I was going to say, yeah, you could. You could choose voice masking on the Dreamcast, yes, and you would not have your normal voice, because... Just as, you know, I'm listening to both of you thinking about the type of games that girls play or, you know, the things of that nature. But just, 2 weeks ago, I was with my girlfriend over a girlfriend's of hers house who has a PlayStation 2. And, you know, she's like, oh, I want to play a game. And I'm seeing Sonic. And I'm thinking, all right, we'll kick some Sonic. That's what's up. No, she broke out Desert Storm 2. And she had beaten it.
Traditional girly game.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, and I'm intense.
Tango down.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm into it when I play these kind of games. But, like, to watch her play... was crazy. She's a lawyer too. She was in it, and it made me think back to when I was playing Unreal on the Dreamcast, Halo 2, even Doom. I ran across a lot of women gamers who are really good. So in my little humble opinion, I kind of feel like the women are playing the same games we're playing.
Sure, in the pro gaming circuits, you hear about all these female clans all the time, like PMS and
Gamer Girls.
Frag Dolls, I think.
Yeah. Frag Dolls, yeah.
Oh, wait, which are the ones that pose nude?
Oh, I forget. That was... CTS? They say it's empowering for them to... Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
That's kind of sketchy to me.
Contact us. all I know is I would even... go as far as to say that even the naked girls, if they're really playing, they might bust you. You know what I'm saying? Like, because
I'm pretty sure they would kick my ass.
No doubt.
You know, I think they get more press than they maybe deserve.
Because they're nude?
Because they're girls, because they're different.
And they're nude.
Yeah. Right. Some of them are. All right. But, you know, they're at least getting exposure there that girls are
so
playing these games like Halo 2 and Counter-Strike and all these games. There's the stereotypical girl game like Mary-Kate and Ashley's, Pretty Pony Party.
Blah.
Girls don't really like those games. I mean, maybe like 6-year-old girls would like those games.
But... Yeah, you got to put it in perspective. My baby cousins might mess around and play Barbie's Great Adventure.
But that's more because they're young than because they're girls.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, my 9-year-old, actually now he's turning 12 in a couple of days. He's totally into WoW and's been into WoW since it came out, you know. But one of the things that I noticed that my mom loves to play, you know, like Klondike, you know, the solitaire games. She'll play it over and over and over again. And my wife, you know, she hates video games. One of the reasons is she hates them is because I play them all the time.
It's because you take away from her time.
That's
Rob.
Exactly right, and that's a problem.
That's her time.
What about my needs?
Be sensitive to her time, Rob.
That's right.
My fiance and I had this whole competition going in this game called DX Ball, which is like a breakout style game where we were trying to beat each other's high scores for like 2 weeks straight.
And it was vicious, wasn't it?
She would get like 10,000 more than me, and then I would get 5,000 more than her. And, you know, we got together by doing this. It brought us together.
Yeah, I mean, and in all honesty, just to throw it one more and get my nudge in from my girl, you know, we were a little beef, a little warring. Well, it was a little war until... magically, she got a DS. Now?
The DS.
Yeah, the DS changed the world, because I have the DS Lite and she has the DS, and we play against each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's big on Tetris. And so she's a Tetris addict now. Like, I can't even go over to say, oh, you want to play? You know, like, she's excited about it. And I think that aspect, when you look at it, and I know this is kind of off topic here, but, you know, dare I say, video games can kind of save relationships.
or ruin them.
Or ruin them. Agreed. But I think when you look at that, you're also looking at another way that the so-called casual gamer is also crossing over to with the gamer audience. Like, sometimes it takes the involvement of whether it's us or a woman involved with a guy to kind of get them to get past some of the stigmas that are attached to playing video games. I mean, that's really kind of what it is. Like, I feel like there are a lot of people who, once they're exposed to that aspect, to see that it's just not, you know, locking yourself in a room for days and not shaving or washing and any of that kind of stuff.
You just described my weekend.
I was actually describing mine. That's what we do sometimes when you play video games. And sometimes people get down like that, but it's not always that way, you know. Yeah. And I think it's been fun, personally, to watch it spread, because I also have a friend of mine whose name I won't put out there right now, But she literally goes around and different celebrity football players pay her to go and play Madden tournaments on their behalf because she used to design Madden.
Oh.
And she'll tell you point blank, I hate Madden. I can't stand the game, but I will whoop your ass. You know what I'm saying? And she's good. Like, you know, she's designed she designed for Battlefield 1942.
Mm,
she
awesome.
Also designed, like I said, she did three Maddens. She did the Battlefield. She did Call of Duty 1. And then she worked on a Call of Duty for the Xbox 360 as well. So, you know, she definitely helped, as far as I was concerned, break my stereotype of normal girls.
Have you ever talked to her about how it feels to be a female in the game development industry?
She talks about it all the time.
What did she say?
It was difficult. It was really hard. But she went to school with the guys who I think started Tiburon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they all knew her from back then. And she said that definitely had a lot to do with her getting into where she went to and how and going through it. But,
were there any other women that she worked with, or was she all alone?
No, there was. She said there was like four other girls on the team that helped her to do Madden as well as Call of Duty and Battlefield. But
that's not as bad as some, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive. I think that she represents something that you see is changing, something that you see coming along where, you know, it's a lot of lot of talent in there.
I think that's going to be important, too. You're going to have more females involved in making the games if you want more females to be involved in playing the games.
That's right.
Because if you have a team of all men, they're going to write a game that appeals to what they like, and more often than not, it's going to be something that's
scantily
clad. Yeah, scantily
clad
women, male focused fantasy. You know?
Speaking of that, you know, one, you know, again, let's talk about WoW. no, but in World of Warcraft, the if you look at the same, like basically the same piece of armor can be donned by either sex.
Right.
You put this plate mail on a male warrior and it completely covers him head to toe. You put the same armor set on a female and she's got her midriff showing and you know, it's funny just the difference.
One thing you might not know, females in that game, their midriffs are actually made of solid iron. So it doesn't need armoring. It's not just sexist. It's no. Just playing around.
But one of the things, you know, I did a review for ATC of Karaoke Revolution, and one of the things I said was that when I brought my wife hates video games, like I said, when I brought the game home and I was playing it with her, we played for 3 hours straight that night. Mm. And then basically every night after that, we played for 3 hours straight. We got really competitive and she loved it. And it's like that. And then when I did the Brain Age review, as part of the review, I sort of had her do it with me, had her play along with me, and you know how she crushes me at the calculations, and I always beat her at the memorization. Mm-hmm. So now it's the same thing. I did the exact same thing that you did, Ralph. She got my old DS, and she's like, "Why am I getting the crappy one?" And then I got the new one. I was like, "Because I do this for a living, huh?"
Exactly. you don't need a nice one. You just want to play. It's fun. Yeah. It's great.
Brain Age is the game that finally got my mom to buy a video game console.
Wow.
And that's a big
deal.
That's
saying something. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after she bought the DS, of course, she got, you know, the Atari Retro Classics.
Nice.
She plays like Breakout, and she wants to get Frogger and Donkey Kong, all the older games. So, you know,
your mom's pretty hot, dog.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
She's going to be listening to this, so
that's
I'll tell
what's
her.
Up. We love you, Miss Orland. You're great.
Well, happy Mother's Day.
Word.
And
late.
But, you know, once she got that foot in the door, she found there were actually games she wanted on this system. She just needed that little push to actually be encouraged to buy it. She would never think to buy a DS on her own, but Brain Age really opened the door.
And, you know, that little push is interesting because a lot of times, once again, this is almost like a wall. It's like, sometimes, that's for kids or that's that and the other. But I've sat down, I've been in situations recently where people have been looking over my shoulder and they'll see me playing, whether I'm downloading music or playing on the PSP or I'm sitting up playing the DS, because those are the easy, you know, the two most portable things that I have. And, you know, it's interesting to watch older people, especially reactions when they see the videos on the PSP and they're like, "Oh my God, you can
that's gorgeous.
Movies. How did you do that? You could play games on it too?" Like, it does, you know? So
I think one of the major problems is with a lot of these controllers, if you haven't been playing games for all your life, if what you know about games is, you know, the Atari joystick with one button, you see an Xbox 360 controller with two joysticks, like 10 buttons and shoulder buttons and all this stuff, you're going to be intimidated if you're not a hardcore gamer. But then there's things like the DS, the PSP, they're a little simpler, they're a little more accessible. Games like Karaoke Revolution or Guitar Hero.
Yeah, where you use your voice to control and score in the game. That's exactly right, because my wife had no experience playing video games. I tried to have her play WoW once, and And she just, she liked it, you know, for a little bit, but then both of us got distracted or whatever. But yeah, she, because she's a good singer, she can pick it up immediately.
Right. There's no learning curve.
But see, I, once again, I have to differ. Uh-huh. Because there have been a couple of girls that I've dated who've all wanted to question my video game. You know, oh my God. Blah, 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 blah. Top Spin.
Awesome.
Virtua Tennis 2.
Yeah.
All the Tiger Woods series. And what's the other one where you beat people over the head with a club? Outlaw Golf. any of the games where I could pick up a female character or have a female, like even table tennis. My girlfriend loves mm-hmm. table tennis because you can, you know, there's a sister in the game and she's like, yeah, I'm playing with her. It was interesting to see a lot of the girls really get into the games when they saw a representation of themselves that wasn't busty, that wasn't short skirted, that wasn't like perfect legs, that wasn't like, ooh, her stomach's out. You know, especially in Tiger, out of all the games I can think of, I have to give Tiger Woods a lot of credit as far as really representing the women that are out there. Like, they have, like, a Natalie Gobis is in the game.
Michelle Wee.
No, she's not there. She's not there, but
Annika Sorenstam.
Annika's there. Uh-huh. And a couple other, you know, Nancy Lopez. Uh-huh. You know, they look just like they really look. So I like that. You know, they're not some old stylized version.
Beyond Good and Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, for a strong female character who's you know, actually realistically portrayed, fully dressed.
Wait a minute. Are you
standing? Wait a minute. Did she have like a bikini on?
She had a tank top.
But she was pretty classy.
So bare shoulders. But yeah. I mean, she was wearing pants. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good for video games,
unfortunately.
That's
I was going to say,
the quote of the podcast right there. She was wearing pants.
I was going to say, though, how are we going to bring up strong women in video games without bringing up Samus?
Samus.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, she almost covered the fact that she was a woman until the end of the games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, ever since you've known she's a woman, you know, she's a woman and she kicks ass. Like, I mean, you can't help it. Samus kicks ass. And then, we can't really bring up Lara Croft.
No, because
she's known.
The
she's
oversized mammalian protuberances.
Yeah. Ooh, nice.
That's a good one. That's very NPR. Nice.
No, I think that's from Frank Zappa.
Yeah, I don't know. You use it well. We won't quote him. That goes way better. I like that. I think that when you look at it, what we're seeing is a change that is more of like I'd almost say in a deep way, a microcosm of society.
Yeah.
In the respect that, you know, you've seen the worlds of women change in society in general, from being one way to being another, from being passive to being extremely aggressive now, almost, I'd say, to being CEOs, running things. And in games, I definitely feel as though you're seeing that. A game that even comes to mind on the PSP would be The Con, where a couple of the lead characters are all women, and you know the whole point of the game is fighting. But you know you can have women on your team, and they're not. And also, you know, which I like a lot, it's not the over sexualized, over hyper, you know, hyper sexualized, you know, big bounding dead or alive. Beach volleyball,
they have their own,
you know,
physics routines,
right?
For the
rest physics,
yeah. So you know, it's not going down like that. And I do like how you have more games now where the central characters are women, and they're not, you know, this helpless, you know, let me get my butt beaten, wait for a dude to come pick me up off the ground.
It's not always about save the princess.
Anyway. Yeah, I agree.
No. Kate Archer and I don't know if either of you guys ever played No One Lives Forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one that's great. Is the is Alex, God, I can't remember her last, Alex Vance in Half-Life 2.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's got that beautiful sort of multicultural look, and she's just, man. And there's a picture of her in PC Gamer, the actual artist, the actor that does her voice, looks exactly like her.
That's what's up. I like that.
Yeah, but she's cute.
But, you know, for every example of those, there's like 10 other games where it's something like World of Warcraft, where they're, the armor doesn't cover their belly, or it's some fighting game where they're wearing next to nothing.
Well, you know,
chainmail thong.
The easy answer to that, though, Kyle, a chainmail thong. You guys are funny. I think when you look at it, you can't forget, however, that the overwhelming audience of video gamers are still men.
That's right.
So it's kind of a chicken or egg problem. You need more women in games to get more women playing games.
Right.
You need more women playing games to get more women.
And then
you also
have the stat of the 25% of adult gamers over 50.
Oh yeah.
That's talking about that bridge, that bridge online poker crowd. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a grandmother, I believe.
Old grandma hardcore.
Thank you.
Yeah,
right,
I was just looking at her site earlier.
Yeah,
what does she play?
She plays everything, and she's retired, and she people pretty much send her free games because this website she does, you Google for old grandma hardcore and you'll find it. She reviews games mercilessly and, you know, she'll play anything that comes at her. First person shooters, RPGs, you know, casual games like billiards. She loves them all. And, you know, that's how she is using her retirement years. She's in her 60s or 70s, I believe.
And, you know, and piggyback on that, I don't know if you all have seen what I consider to be a gem of modern filmmaking, the perennial classic Grandma's Boy.
I've heard about it. It's got like a game tester.
You guys, as gamer geeks, have to see this movie. It will only make you feel that much stronger about this podcast that we do. But the guy in the movie, he ends up moving back home with his grandmother. He is a video game tester for Xbox. But his grandmother picks up his game that he's designed. And she becomes a monster at it. Like, she's unreal at it. And it's the coolest thing because I was thinking to myself, like, oh, my grandma would be like that. Like, you know, some ultra-aggressive game where you could just go and beat people down.
I could not see my grandmother doing that.
Mine, definitely.
Mine's 94, so I definitely couldn't see.
Yeah. I don't know. It may give her sharper hand-eye coordination, though, for real.
I don't know. But I think a lot of older people, that if they actually gave it a chance, they would get into it like that. It's just that they didn't grow up with it. They're not familiar with it.
I agree.
So, you know, anything you didn't grow up with, it's like magic. It's technology. It's imposing.
It's like learning a language when you're a kid. It's so much easier than learning it when you're an adult. I mean, that's
right. So when we get older, you know, are we still going to be playing all these Twitch games, or are reflexes going to slow?
I plan to be as long as I can. Brain
as long
age,
as I can. That's the thing.
Brain age has messed me up. I can't front. I've been playing a lot of Magnetica.
Oh yeah.
Which I absolutely enjoy. But I lost brain age and had to get it back. And my brain age went from 42 to 60-something. And it hadn't been gone that long, so it totally scares me to death. Like, you know, I need to go and play every game I can now to make sure I'm still popping. Like, I got to be on it.
Have you ever had that? My wife had this happen to her the other night. She's playing, and it goes, your brain age is 70. She was like 30 for a while. And they're like, your brain age is 70. And she's like, oh, my God. And they're like, just kidding. It's 26.
Yeah. I had that one happen, too. That hurt. That hurt. I was really kind of confused. Like, but how? It just was no. Then, you know, but I
gotta wonder, as the core gamers, you know, keep getting older and we get like arthritic and our vision starts getting bad, are we gonna see games more like Brain Age and less like the first person shooters, the ones that are actually hard to play?
All I'm gonna say is, until I go out, all right, until I am out off this earth, I will personally try my best to beat down anyone younger than me just to prove a point. Okay, I'm
but
sorry.
Will you be able to?
Yes, yes.
The
forever
gauntlet has been
that's
thrown.
Right. That's right. Any of y'all young boys want to come and get someone FIFA, win an 11? Any of these nice little quick games that I can play? I'll give you FIFA Street 2. I don't care.
You know, someone's going to download this in 40 years.
That's
and
good.
Come track you down.
Track
in the nursing
me down.
Home.
Find me.
Ralph Cooper.
I'll be
I
the old
you.
Dude. I'll be the old dude with a pipe in my mouth. With an Arsenal jersey.
Halo 30 deathmatch.
Look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair.
That's right. Yeah. And you will know my name is the Lord. Anyway.
When I rain my vengeance upon thee.
All right.
If any females or old people were listening and want to tell us that we were just totally off, where should they send their emails, Rob?
They should send them to feedback@pressstartpodcast.com. Yes, we have our own website domain.
Woo!
So, yeah, go check it out. There's nothing much up there now, but go to pressstartpodcast.com. You'll see our website and a forum, and we're getting working on that. So, but anyway, so feedback@pressstartpodcast.com.
And, you know, and I like to put it out there, go ahead and email us if you think we're wrong.
Yeah.
Please. I mean, and for all you other listeners who have been sending us emails and comments and things like that, we've been getting them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Rob and Kyle, but they honestly, some days I'm having rough days and you guys have absolutely made my day.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Definitely appreciate it.
You know, to let
keep
us know that you guys are actually listening to us. Big shout out to all my friends over at GameStop over in Springfield Mall for giving us love. I had my first fan moment of a podcast. So, you know, all of you people out there who've been writing us, we've been getting it. Thank you very much. Spread it to your friends. You know, we hope to catch you guys out there. You know, keep on playing. That's good stuff.
All right. Thanks for listening to Press Start. We'll see you in 2 weeks. For Ralph Cooper and Kyle Orland, I'm Robert Holt. See you next time.
Later.
We'll be right back.
Alt, alt, alt.
Alt,